Welcome to Manager Tools. Today, getting chewed out in public. The questions this cast answers are, what do I do when I get chewed out in public? Should I respond to a public dressing down? What do I do when my boss is unprofessional?
Hey there, it's Sarah from Manager Tools with great news. We can now offer our Virtual Effective Manager and Virtual Effective Hiring Manager events to organizations in any language those organizations desire. We've got an interpretation service which will, in live time, take the English words delivered by our presenters and translate them to your language or languages of your choosing. If you're interested in learning more, send us an email to customerservice@manager-tools.com.
I'm really excited about this cast. The moment I read it, it reminds me of recently talking to an executive, Mark Thomas. I think you know Mark Thomas, to whom this happened.
Oh.
And he was like, what do I even do? And folks, listen, it happens to virtually everybody. You get chewed out by your boss in front of other people. And it becomes more and more likely the more senior you are in an organization. And in that case, it is tempting to defend yourself, but defending yourself is the wrong move. The right answer is to do nothing, almost. And that's what we're here to talk about today.
Okay, nothing, almost. I like it. So we're going to cover four parts today. We're going to talk about getting chewed out in public. It happens. Don't defend yourself in the moment. If necessary, send a topical email afterwards. So that's our almost. And if your boss apologizes, accept graciously. So starting with, hey, it happens.
Yeah, it happens. Getting chewed out in the workplace isn't fun. It's never fun. Now, I would say it probably happens less than it used to. About 20 years ago, it probably happened a lot more than it does now, and the workplace continues to get better in the sense that more managers and executives are aware of changing norms and the greater sensitivity they need to have to these types of behaviors. But it happens less, but still happens.
Yeah. And we have a series of casts, right, called Is This Normal?
Mm-hmm. We do.
And this cast is not in the Is This Normal group. And normal would be overstating it.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, though, it's reassuring for people to hear, hey, it does
happen. You're not alone.
This is
pretty standard, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The problem for a lot of managers, professionals, is that they believe that this kind of behavior is wrong.
Yeah.
In an ethical sense. They believe, hey, this is the wrong thing to do. It's not appropriate. It's
unethical. You have to stand up against it.
Yeah. And so, right. It causes people to think, motivates people to think, hey, we have this moral right to speak up, to defend ourselves and call out the person who's out of line and publicly make noise about it, which is interesting, right? It's an interesting approach to that kind of thing since that's what's happened to you.
Yeah, yeah. It's really interesting to do it back in return.
Yeah, it's almost like, you did this, now I get to do it. It's like almost a permissive assumption.
Yeah, I don't think the people that are doing it feel that way. I really don't, but it is true.
No, they feel defensive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. That's the thing. It's a really human thing.
It is, totally.
Defensive and to want to defend the position. And okay, we agree, y'all, that it's stupid and ineffective and embarrassing when it happens. And it's wrong to chew people out. And we agree. It's all those things. It's not a moral breach, though. Chewing someone out in public is not a moral breach. Mm-mm. So
it's not cool, but it's not morally offensive.
Right. We support you and calm down.
That's exactly it.
That came out. I have a feeling that that line in particular and some of the content in this cast might upset some people. And
oh, yeah.
We're going to nip that in the bud right now. We don't recommend that you get up on your moral high horse. It's far to climb. Okay. You're not going to get anywhere by getting on your moral high horse and calling out the bad behavior. Mm-hmm.
Now, folks, I can assume, and that's an assumption, so I could be wrong here. I can assume you've probably listened to more than one of our podcasts. This probably isn't your first one. I mean, there's 1,400 of them. There are many, so it's just a game of odds that I'm playing at this point. But as we've said before, you're not going to change your boss's behavior. And that is especially true of a public butt chewing. You're not going to change their behavior. You're just not. Bosses who do this have briefly lost touch with effective manager behaviors. And they certainly won't respond in this moment where they're all fired up. They're not going to respond well to you lecturing them on their failings while they're currently already upset. You speaking up isn't going to change anything. It's frankly going to make it worse.
Absolutely. The phrase, of course, that comes to mind is don't poke the bear.
Yeah.
He's already fired up. He's already hopped up. And we're not suggesting that we would only give this guidance, you know, to you about your boss. Because remember, what we tell you as a manager to do when your direct gets defensive and potentially aggressive, when you're giving negative feedback, is to walk away.
Right.
We are suggesting this on both sides of your professional relationship balance, essentially, that we de-escalate.
Yeah, de-escalate. It's just, I mean, it's just standard. And going back to what you said earlier, Kate, I think some people could feel a little bit upset by what we're saying. No, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we are not suggesting you do what we're suggesting you do. That is, not say anything. We're not suggesting you do it for the benefit of your manager. That is not what this is about. This is not
for
their benefit. Exactly. This is for your benefit. We're making this recommendation, which I know doesn't feel good and we don't like it and we really wanted to say something, but we're making the recommendation to protect you is why we're doing it.
Yes.
Not to protect your manager, just to be clear there.
Yeah. And we do. We recommend that you walk away. It's honestly one of the purest forms of de-escalation. And we talk about it in our previous cast, The Shot Across the Bow. If you're interested in The Shot Across the Bow, there's a cast for that. What you'll probably find in these situations overall where your boss has chewed you out in public is that it's rare that your boss is focusing specifically on what you or your team or your organization did wrong. So there's a lot of other things going on, and that's often very true when people are emotional. There's the Dune books, which I know not everyone is into or interested in. In the Dune books, they say fear is the mind killer. And I use that phrase in my mind a lot when I'm emotional about something. And usually when I'm emotional about something, because I'm a pretty work task focused person, it's outside of work. It's like there's other stuff going on. There's personal life stuff going on. There's things that are very emotional happening. And it's not necessarily fear. However, negative emotion, I think, does cause people to pay less attention to their behaviors. You're focusing so much on the emotion, you tend to think less about effective behaviors, about the volume of your voice, the words you're using, where you are, your gestures, your eye contact, things like that. And then you behave badly because you're thinking about something else. There's other stuff going on. And it's not going to help if somebody's in an emotional state and they're behaving badly for the other person involved to get into a heightened emotional state.
Yeah, that almost never de-escalates the situation.
It's not a de-escalation. We totally want to remind you that it is not in your best interest here. Again, all this is in your best interest. It's not in your best interest to get caught up in the emotion of the event. We recommend that you stay frosty, that you remind yourself it happens. It's not always about you. It's not always about your team. It's not always about your org. There's other stuff going on.
Don't take it personally. Oftentimes I find people take things personally when it ain't about you. Like it's about a broader set of behaviors or a broader set of individuals, or it actually might not even be about you at all. It's actually about literally someone different, but everyone in the room is like, is personalizing that moment.
Oh, it's so
and
true.
And thinking it's about me when it's really like, this ain't about you, dude. It's really not. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Yes, it is not always about you. There's other stuff going on. Bearing the brunt of this type of situation, honestly, there's so many factors involved that you are but a small piece of this puzzle.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
So we do recommend that you stay, you know, emotionally as much as you can, keep yourself from reaching a new emotional height around this situation. And to that end, also, in a continuation of that, we don't recommend for you to defend yourself. So don't defend yourself in the moment. When your boss chews you out in public, don't respond.
Right. Don't defend yourself. Do not try and correct your boss if they're wrong on some of the details or in any way at all, for that matter. They're not going to remember the details if they're angry. So pointing out these details that would clarify the situation are not beneficial. They're not in a listening phase. They're in a talking phase. So saying stuff at them is not going to change what is happening. And remember, we all take liberties when we get angry about things. I mean, we all speak, I'm going to say, less precisely when in that kind of that emotional state, right? And 100% accuracy is certainly not what is on your boss's mind at that point, to be clear. I would say, frankly, the more senior your boss is, the more they're dealing with things that you're not privy to, that you frankly have absolutely no idea about. And we always assume that they've just gotten chewed out themselves or are dealing with something that they're not sharing with us. That's the place to start. Remember, we have a podcast, if you've heard of it before, it's called Assume Positive Intent.
Yeah.
Assume that the reason for their anger or their upset nature right now is something completely different. Because it's entirely possible that your being chewed out has nothing to do with you at all. Again, this ain't about you.
If you think about it that way, if you think about why are they mad, A, not necessarily about you. B, their behavior is about them. So you've got two things going on that are not about you. What happened may not be about you. Y'all, we should note, it could be you.
It could be you.
There's
it could
chance.
Be
chance.
It yeah.
It is. Could be you. There's a chance.
I didn't want to say it, but she said it, so I agreed.
I already said the thing that's going to hurt people's feelings exactly. today. So I'm sorry. I get to be dark Mark today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get to be. I need a scary Kate nickname. I don't have one yet. It would be fun to have one.
It would be. I'll think of three names.
Okay. It's possible that it's not about you. And then their behavior isn't your fault. They have control over how they behave. So remember, somebody else could have done something bad that caused their emotional state. Additionally, their chewing someone out in public is not necessarily professional behavior. So you've got two things going on that aren't about you at all. Okay. Now, is it going to help for you to add your angry fists to the equation? No. Instead, we recommend sit quietly. Take notes about points that they're making that are specific to something you or your team did or didn't do. So actionable things that you need to change or that you need to take into consideration or communicate to your team. You really are likely to need these notes to be able to send the email we recommend you send in a moment. And additionally, some of these things might need to be passed on to your team. That's completely possible. We recommend a passive facial expression. Passive facial expression and taking notes makes you the master of the moment.
Yep.
And really does all you need to do to separate you from your boss's unprofessional behavior and rant, et cetera.
Yeah. And folks, remembering back to your behaviors, this is really all you can control in this situation is what you do. So don't look like you're being punished and have a sad face in front of the group, hanging your head like, oh man, like this is just the worst. Look your boss in the eye as they rant. Don't hang your head. Don't try and look sad to garner sympathy from the other people in the room that are seeing what is happening here. It's only going to appear, if you look sad in this moment, as though you agree with your boss's representation of the situation and you are in turn deserving of feeling bad and accepting responsibility for everything based on the way you receive this information. And in terms of your manager's behavior, remember, they're not thinking clearly. They are being over the top and it is unnecessary. You doing the same thing in reverse is not going to add value to the situation either. If your boss was thinking clearly, they wouldn't be ranting in this way in front of a group of people.
Yeah.
Hold your head up. Take the emotion out of what's happening. It's already emotional. So you can be that person, that mainstay that takes the emotion out of the situation and is the professional in the room at that moment. Don't look at other people. Don't roll your eyes to one of your friends that's kind of across the way like,
no.
Like, no, don't do it. That would be seen as, obviously, and it probably should be, judging your boss publicly. And if your boss sees that, the attack will not stop. It will only get stronger. I assure you.
It's also really childish.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
At somebody else.
Well, I can see you.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
But don't make a facial expression. Don't like do that look like mess your face up like when they get something wrong. Like don't do it. I know. I'm doing that because this is also going to be released on YouTube. And if you're currently listening to the audio version of this podcast and you want to see it in real life, go to YouTube. We are recording it. There is a video there. You can stop listening to the audio version right now. You can go watch it on YouTube, faces included.
You could see the face that Sarah's trying to describe.
I don't even know.
Which is like a side, like a half-side like, frowny scrunch.
Like a questionable, like, that's not right at all. Like that.
This is a good one for video recording.
It really, really is.
Our facial expressions are pretty helpful. Helpful.
We recommend.
We wouldn't you love to see us make faces at each other? So we recommend neutral facial expression. Look at your boss. Take notes. There's nothing wrong with getting mad, getting chapped about what you're going through. You can completely feel mad. It's okay. It's justified. Let's not display it. Let's not show that. Let's keep our face passive. This is a classic learning moment for you about the difference between what you think, which is always yours and always okay, and how you feel, right? Always yours, always okay. And what you do, how you portray your outer self. Just because on the inside, you're having a moment doesn't mean that your face has to reflect it.
That's exactly it.
Only once when I said no to feedback, was it because I've said no multiple times, right? When I've been asked, said no 3 times in my whole career, but one time it was because sometimes my face doesn't want to be professional.
Okay.
It doesn't. My face, it wants to show a feeling. It likes to do that. And it used to do so more. I've schooled myself much, much better. And I said no one time to my boss, Jeff, actually, when he asked me if we could talk about something, because I knew that at that moment, my face was not ready. I needed some minutes to get my face ready, like to take my emotions to a place where they were lowered to a point where I could
accept the feedback productively.
Yeah. Think about my facial expressions in addition to experiencing my emotions. And in this case, we just recommend that you do that because sure, you're mad, you're chapped, you're embarrassed. You probably think you're right. Sure, you are.
Probably are right.
Yeah, we got you. We're here. We support you. But the effective, politically savvy professional knows that even if you're right, sending that message is only going to prolong an embarrassing moment.
Yeah.
And by the way, when we say embarrassing, we're not talking about you. We're talking about your boss. Nothing you're going to do in this moment is going to make your boss aware that he's embarrassing himself. So let's ride it out with class.
Yeah, exactly. Be classy. If someone mentions it afterward, and because this extends to beyond just the meeting itself,
oh, yeah.
Right? Because there will be an afterward. And if somebody mentions it afterward, we would encourage you to downplay the moment. Simply say, you know, it happens, never fun, but almost everyone is going to go through it. It's best to respond professionally.
Yeah, say that.
Yeah,
say those words that Sarah's articulating. Just say that.
Just say that. And if you like your boss, you could even defend them a little bit. You know what? She's a great boss. If I have to go through this once a year, I can totally live with that. Just something that's innocuous. Something that's just like, yeah, it happens. You know? Roll with it. And just let it go. Don't lean into them wanting to talk about what just happened. Because again, that will go beyond the meeting potentially and get back to your boss. And then it's a whole nother thing.
also bear in mind how adult it is to say, yeah, happens, dude. You look
so cool.
Above it, so beyond. So if you're, because you might be struggling with the guidance in this cast, if you're struggling.
It's a hard one to do.
Yeah. And think of how above it you look, not just because this is professional guidance that will be supportive to you. In just over a week, on March 12th through 13th, Manager Tools is presenting our EMC and ECC in Cupertino. Our most popular professional trainings, these 2 days cover management and communication effectiveness. If you're like us, your career training might not have prepared you for management, and we can help. Palo Alto, March 12th through 13th. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training. Continuing that theme of professional guidance, it might be necessary to send a topical email afterwards. If there were specific points that your boss made about performance or communication or your team, you can respond in an email. And whatever you do, don't make any part of the email about the rant. This is in no way, shape, or form a chance to call out your boss in email.
No, it is absolutely
not appropriate.
Not appropriate. And remember back to what Kate said earlier. You're taking notes. So you have notes. Based on your notes, respond in an itemized way to the points your boss made related to you and or your organization. Don't say to your boss, you were wrong. Just provide updates or comments regarding the specific points that they mentioned in their diatribe.
So simply start showing that you're not going to address the unprofessionalism. Okay? So at the beginning, when you send this email to your boss, that's what we're suggesting. You send an email to your boss about the points that they covered that you need to address. Start with responding to your comments from the meeting earlier today. You're right. We missed the deadline. Here's what we're going to do about that issue. Good opening kind of statements. Also, regarding the customer's comments on our work, we missed their concerns. Here's what we're doing and have done to address them. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. For each point that they covered, respond with the information they would need, for example, to talk to a customer or to their boss, or to share with their peers about how the team is responding to solving the problems that may have come up during the rant. So imagine what information they would need to communicate to somebody else. That's kind of the level that we're looking for here, because that's the professional thing to do. This may have come from a place of him being chewed out, of her being approached by someone else about the team's issues, the team's failures, the team's missteps. What would they need to communicate back to their boss, their peer, so-and-so, who approached them with this and said, hey, these are the things I have. And, you know, what would they need to communicate to somebody else? That might be a good way to think about it. What did they need to be able to share with someone else?
Exactly. I totally agree. That removes the emotion from it, really, in the response, right? Mm-hmm. Because remember, folks, you want to make sure your comments are not seen as defensive.
Right.
So we would also encourage you maybe not to send it immediately. Draft it and set it aside. Don't respond quickly. Your frustration with your boss's behavior could creep into your response. So set it aside for a few hours or overnight. I don't know, however long you think is appropriate. Come back to it later and read it. Change it. Take a little bit of the emotion out, possibly. Right? And then send the email after you know it doesn't have, again, the phrases that are suggestive of defensiveness or emotion. It's not about emotion. It's just about what to do. And please do not CC the other people who were in the meeting on this email. I don't think I need to say that, but I'm going to say it anyway, because this isn't your defense. It's not your ability to defend yourself via email having been taken away from you, the opportunity to defend yourself in the meeting by Kate and Sarah. It's not another opportunity to defend yourself. It's really not what it is. It's just a communication directly to your manager addressing the things that they brought up as their concerns. That's all it is.
And since we're highlighting who this goes to, this is a private email to your boss.
Yes.
So there's that. And Sarah made the comment, you know, draft it, set it aside. One of the things that I sometimes do, specifically when I'm writing content, if I'm being honest, is I'll write it in the morning because there's less likelihood that I'll be interrupted in the morning when I'm doing my emails. I often have to put it in the email to send to the person who's going to post it, right?
Yeah.
So I'll write content in the morning. I draft it in Word. And what I do usually is I wait until my lunch or end of the day email slot.
Yeah.
So I'll go into my email in the morning. I do the stuff and then I will take some time to write content. I usually do that while playing specific music, things like that. I've got it all ready. And you could do a similar thing. In the morning, you could draft the email or whatever time slot it is, and then you could wait until your next email time slot of the day. And I find that it's been in the back of my mind. It's been being recomposed. It's been getting solidified and, you know, streamlined. And so it might just be that you just need to wait till your next email time slot to hit send. It's a really nice way to do it. And again, because your brain is taking some time. Also, my experience with this is defensiveness fades a bit with time. So actually sending this really quickly might not be your best approach. You might wait a couple of hours or 24 such that, frankly, your boss's emotional state adjusts.
Yeah.
This email might be better received tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Frankly.
And it might be better sent tomorrow morning. I mean, to exactly. your point, I think, Kate, like you'll come back to it in a few hours. You're like, you know what? No, not going to send that. I don't need it. Non-issue. Don't need it. Yeah. So you might just end up trashing it. And that's okay too.
The heightened emotional response here will fade.
Yeah, it will.
You're going to deal with 25 other things today, especially if you're an executive. You're going to deal with 55 other things today, in which case, by the time you come back to this email, you may feel very differently about what happened.
That's exactly it. And who knows what could have happened by then? Who knows? For example,
your boss could apologize.
Your boss could have apologized. And if they apologize, we would suggest you accept it graciously now.
Yes. You should always accept apologies graciously.
Exactly. Now, for fear of bursting your bubble or getting your hopes up in some way, no. It's rare. It's rare that this is going to happen. And I apologize in advance for that. But if you're lucky, your boss will apologize. Keep in mind that this apology may not take the most perfect of forms from our previous guidance on how to deliver an effective apology. For the record, it would sound something like, I apologize for my behavior the other day. I was out of line and I regret how I treated you. That's how we would recommend the apology come across.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably not what you're going to get. Your boss isn't going to say, I apologize for my behavior the other day. I was out of line and I regret how I treated you. What you're going to get is something more like, about yesterday, I was angry. I didn't mean to focus solely on you. That's probably what you're going to get. And it's weak sauce. And we all know that.
Yeah. So regardless of the form of your boss's effort to apologize, if you sense anything that feels close to an apology, consider it an apology and respond as such,
mm-hmm.
which might sound like, thanks, boss, and no worries. There were things I could have done better. Good lesson for me. Short, simple, acknowledging their effort. Don't judge them on a poor effort. Just accept it and then put it behind you.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Let's not just portray ourselves as professionals. Also, let's act like professionals.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And going back to previous, if they actually say something that sounds apologetic-like before you send your note, you don't use the apology as a reason not to send your note. We still recommend you would send that unemotional note
mm-hmm.
so that they know. Again, to Kate's point earlier, they may require that information to communicate
yes.
with other people, with customers, other parties within the organization. So you could still send that note. Don't just not send it now that you got your apology, because again, the purpose of the note wasn't to defend yourself. The purpose of the note was to give them valuable information. Not sending the note because you got your apology suggests that the purpose of the note was to defend yourself, which it wasn't. So the note is still necessary.
It could be.
Yeah, it could be.
If you're experiencing this, we feel for you. Reminder, we do feel for you. And we know what you can do to make this something that is professional in the end. It could still come out positively. You're going to get chewed out. It happens. It's not your fault, even if you screwed up. Focus on the work. Forgive your boss as you would have done unto yourself and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And make a note to not make that same mistake yourself.
Exactly. Delta file.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, y'all. That's it for this week. We'll see you back here next week with a new topic. Have a good day, y'all.
Bye, everyone.